Hey everybody, and welcome back to Steve's NRL Footy Tips for Finals Week 1. That's right, 27 rounds done and dusted. There's 8 teams left in the Telstra Premiership race, and we've got a hell of a final series coming up. Some big battles in the top 4, two massive elimination finals, and some surprising teams in the top 8 this season. Season 2023 has had a little bit of everything. Today I'm going to be joined by a few guests to preview the games this weekend, the 4 finals that we're going to see to start 2023's post-season, and I can't do it alone. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while since I've had you on. Welcome back, Matt Cosgrove. Cos, how are you going today, mate?
Mate, I'm fantastic. Mate, it's great to be back. It's been a minute. I don't know how many times I've been on this year, but yeah, always a pleasure coming on.
And mate, it's going to be a big couple of days of football coming our way. I mean, some massive clashes, and obviously there's teams that are favourites, but I think we're truly in a situation where a lot of these games could go either way this weekend. So the comps be one of the closest it's been in many years. Obviously the Penrith Panthers well out in front, but you know, I think the 8 teams that are in the finals, the majority of them have a chance to do something in this playoff structure in 2023.
Yeah, 100%. Just looking at the top 8, I'd say 7 of them have a shot. 1 of them, not so much. But we'll get into that a bit later on.
Well, let's have a look at round 27, the final round of the regular season. Just to quickly recap the scores, without pretty much a contingent of both teams' players or their stars sitting out. The Storm beat the Broncos on Thursday night 32-22. The Friday night games was Manly ending their season in style with a big 54-12 win over the West Tigers. The second game of Friday night football was the Roosters 26 defeating the South Sydney Rabbitohs 12, and that was a sudden death game. The Roosters play finals football. My beloved South Sydney out, and we'll talk about that shortly as well. And you know, one of the biggest collapses that we've ever seen in rugby league history there. Super Saturday, the Dolphins ended their season the way they started it, with a big 34-10 victory over the New Zealand Warriors. The Panthers crushed the North Queensland Cowboys' finals hopes and secured the minor premiership with a big 44-12 win over the Cowboys. The Panthers did. The Knights extended their winning streak without a lot of their stars to 9 with a big 32-12 victory over the St. George Illawarra Dragons. And then on the Sunday afternoon games, we saw the Gold Coast Titans 34 outlast the Canterbury Bulldogs side that, you know, both sides, they were only concentrating on scoring points and not defending. It was 34-30 there. In the final game of the round, it was the Cronulla Sharks 24 beating the Raiders 6 to secure themselves a home finals match this weekend. Cos, let's talk about both the Rabbitohs, the Cowboys and the Eels a little bit later. We'll get to them in a moment. But for the teams that really didn't have much to play for, like Manly, like the Dolphins and the Titans as well, it was good to see them 3 teams end with a win. But obviously, a lot of these teams weren't in contention, and the 3 teams that were that didn't make it, the Cowboys, Eels and Rabbitohs, have all had massive collapses in the second half of the season, to the point where, you know, that all 3 of them were in the prelim last year and all 3 will be missing finals football in 2023. So what did you take away from round 27? And in particular, those 3 teams were both at the Rabbitohs-Roosters game on Friday night, but the Eels had the bye, but the Cowboys big losers to the Panthers 44-12. So what did you take out of round 27 as a whole, Matt?
It was an interesting final round. Obviously, a lot of teams rested pretty much the starting 13. As you said, some teams were playing for nothing and got up, and other teams rested for, you know, bigger and better things coming up this week. So yeah, it was a bit of an interesting end of regular season there for a few teams, but in particular, obviously, the team I support, St. George, was a pretty poor ending to a pretty horrible season, arguably probably our worst season as a joint venture. Newcastle even had a few out, to the point where the Dragons could have caused a bit of an upset and end on a high, but it was just more of the same, really. And when that full-time siren went on Saturday night, there was a big relief that it's done. And get a bit of a break now and wait till next year.
I mean, well, in particular, you know, the Dragons and the Gold Coast Titans both have new coaches to look forward to next year. Obviously, Dez has the regimen at the Titans about to begin, and Shane Flanagan on the Dragons. So both of those sides, you know, are kind of going into new beginnings. But yeah, let's talk about two teams I think that are really struggling and have struggled all season, but I don't think are improving anytime soon, and that's the West Tigers and the Canterbury Bulldogs. Now, we haven't talked about the Rabbitohs Cowboys. We'll talk about that in a second, but for the Tigers and the Tigers and Bulldogs, definitely both seasons to forget. The Bulldogs ended the season with 7 wins and 17 losses, and came 15th from the ladder, but in my opinion, in these last few months, they were easily the worst team in the Premiership. I think they really dropped off, especially defensively. At the start of the year, they weren't winning all their games, but I think the effort was there, and they really fought hard and just ultimately were outclassed. But in the back end of this season, for mine, it was clear that there was something wrong, you know, throughout the club. Cameron Serrato definitely, I guess, hasn't lost supporters with his tough approach to training, but he seems to have put some of the playing group off. And I know there's a lot of changes still coming to the club, players like Salmon and Stephen Crichton, their big signing, as well as Blake Taff and a few others coming to the club next year. But for the Bulldogs, before we get to the Tigers, do you see better days ahead, Coz, or do you think that it's going to be a fair few more years of rebuild? And does Cameron Serrato even last out his 5-year deal? Because obviously, with all the media scrutiny in the club at the moment, there's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah, that's a huge pressure. Like, you're from the outside looking in, obviously, you know, we can only go off what's reported and stuff throughout the media and you know, what they're presenting on the field, which has been pretty disappointing, especially for their fan base, who probably would have gone into this season with a lot of expectations. Obviously, Reid Marnie, Matt Burton, his second year at the club, I think, and obviously a new coach who's come from the Penrith system, and you know, so obviously a lot of excitement there. And early on in the season, you know, they started well. They had a loss in round one, but they beat the Storm, I think, round two or three, and they had a couple of wins early on there. But then, yeah, from probably round eight onwards, it's just all downhill, and it's just really exploded into a giant mess, which I don't really see getting fixed anytime soon.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Likewise to the West Tigers, they ended the season with their second consecutive wooden spoon. This year, they were 17th. Last year, they were 16th. So they technically actually went backwards in 2023. Tim Sheens won't be the coach next year. Benji Marshall's been rushed in after a quick apprenticeship. He's going to take the head coaching role at the moment for another 4 seasons. They've got Aiden Caesar playing in that's their big signing in the offseason, to play in the halves next year. But, you know, Adam Dewey's going to be out long term next season. Luke Brooks is gone. Their forward pack on paper looks good, but they ultimately didn't deliver this year. What do you think about the Tigers? I mean, it was probably an improved effort in this past month of football, but obviously another disappointing season. And now it's probably been, what, by my count, 12 years since they last played finals football.
Yeah, well, they're just another mess of a club, along with St George, Canterbury, and all the likes. It's you know, what went on with Tim Sheens there at the back end of the year, not even seeing out the full year, and Benji just getting in the hot seat straight away. And it's just like, obviously with Canterbury and West, they kind of recruited stronger than what the Dragons did for 2023, and you know, their fans would have also went in with some hope and some expectations there, and Tim Sheens coming back to the club, and everyone would be thinking like it's just going to click like it did in 2005 when they won the premiership when he was head coach there. But yeah, look, the only thing they'll really take away from this season was that they beat Penrith all the way back early on in the season, and yeah, other than that, it's just another. Somehow they went backwards, you know, with the Dolphins getting added into the competition. So their fans last year would have been going, look, the only way's up, but really they went down. So next year they can actually say the only way is up. So we'll see what they can do with, yeah, as you said, a couple of key signings there, Aiden Caesar, coming in with Adam Dewey obviously missing, and they've signed Jaden Sullivan as well from St George. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the makeup of the side comes round one next year.
I'm also really excited to see what style that Benji Marshall coaches with. I mean, does he go back to the kind of free-flowing football and try to emulate what we saw in 2005 where the Tigers won the premiership with him as halfback, or do we see something a little bit different? I mean, it remains to be seen, but, you know, a lot of pressure is going to be on him immediately. So we've got some guests coming on in a moment that are going to help us preview the top four matches. But before we get to that, we can't move on without quickly touching on the two teams that should have been in the finals based on last season. And the Eels, I mean, for them, they had a lot of, I guess, excuses, and that's, you know, injury dramas, and, you know, they started the season slow. I think they came better as the season went on, but then the Mitch Moses injury kind of ended their season. So we won't spend too much time on them. We'll ask Josh about that when he comes on. But the Rabbitohs and the Cowboys, I mean, starting with the Cowboys, obviously last year was a better year for them. It surpassed all expectations. We both had them running almost last, and they end up making the top four and having a real crack at winning the thing. But this year, it hasn't gone to plan. Their young players, a lot of them, I don't think, have really carried on after their breakout 2022s. Dearden has been great at his best, but has struggled for consistency, as Chad Townsend. Obviously, Scott Drinkwater, one of the shining lights of their season. But where did it all go wrong for the Cowboys? They had a huge chance on Saturday night to cement their spot in the top eight. The Panthers named a full-strength side, so it was going to be tough for them to overcome that. But they had all the chance in the world to be playing finals football. And on Saturday night, they were just awful. And some of their defensive efforts for mine, I know they were missing Valentine Holmes still to the suspension, but their outside backs just seemed to leak points. And, you know, Cleary and Co at Penrith, they just seemed to, you know, make easy meters through the ruck and through the middle of the field. And then through the edges, the Cowboys just couldn't stop them. How do you see the Cowboys, I guess, fall from grace this season?
Yeah, well, they'll probably go into the game on the weekend. They're probably kind of expecting Penrith to rest a lot of stars, so they're probably thinking, you know, that they would just automatically fall over the line and fall into the top eight. But I think, obviously, they had a stellar season last year. Like, they'll tip to win the Wooden Spoon or finish close to it last year. Blew all expectations out of the water and finished top four, beat Cronulla week one of the finals, and got hurt the week off, and fell short to Parramatta in week three. But yeah, it's just a lot of second year syndrome, I guess. Jeremiah Nanai didn't have as good a year as he did the year before. He still played Origin, don't get me wrong, but you know, just the likes of him and as you touched on, Dearden, in and out of games, and Scotty Drinkwater and stuff. Just slow starts of the season really killed them. A few extra wins early on in the season could be a different story, but yeah, the slow start, it was just proved to be too much in the end to run down to finish in the top eight.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I reckon Todd Payton's going to be under a lot of pressure to start next year as well, to be honest, now that they, you know, have shown they've come back to the field. And to be honest, Queensland Country Bank Stadium, a brand new stadium, only been around for a few years. They made it a fortress last year. They really struggled at home at points this year, the Cowboys. And if they're going to be successful for the long term, especially playing that many games in Queensland and some local derbies now against, you know, the Dolphins and the Broncos and the Titans to a lesser extent, they need to make Queensland Country Bank a fortress, and I don't think they did that this year at all. So before we move on, let's get to South Sydney. We're both there on Friday night, where the Rabbitohs and the Roosters seasons were both on the line, and the Roosters won the game 26-12. South Sydney thoroughly outplayed. They were leading the competition after 11 rounds, and my team, the Rabbitohs, we have completely collapsed since then. There's been all the internal drama over the last few weeks. I haven't really discussed it with you at all on the show, man, how do you see South Sydney? I mean, the Roosters just wanted it more on Friday night. It hurts me to say that. The Rabbitohs' effort was there for the majority of the game, but again, the attack kind of fell to pieces, and really the commitment and defence wasn't good enough. Now, there's some standout performers. I mean, Kian Murray was outstanding. Michael Cheekan tried his best outside in the centres from a position that he usually plays. But ultimately, yeah, the Rabbitohs, I mean, there's talks of preferential treatment. There's talks of a lot of issues at the club. How do you see that situation? And how do you explain, you know, one of the biggest collapses you'll ever see? Because for me as a Rabbitohs fan, it isn't good enough. We're a side that should be competing for premierships. And, you know, we can make all the excuses that we want, but it just proves, in my opinion, that Sam Burgess are right. The training standards dropped. The attack wasn't where it needed to be, and I don't know if it was more Walker, more Ilias, but Walker being that key man, I think he really needed to step up on Friday night. He didn't do enough for me. Some of the passes just weren't finding targets like they have all the second half of the season, and the Rabbitohs just seemed like a fatigued side. So extremely disappointed in my team. Look, this is football, these things happen, but I expected more out of my beloved Rabbitohs, and I'll admit on the podcast I thought they were going to come out last week when I said it in my prediction that they'll kind of come out firing, but they did the opposite on Friday night, and the Roosters really took the sword to them.
Yeah, look, it turned out to be a pretty disappointing season, but like, as you said, they were top of the league earlier on in the season. And when you look at their draw overall, probably the first part of the season was the toughest, and they got through that and got through that quite well to be first on the ladder. And then at some point, it just, look, obviously there was origin commitments and injuries. There were games there where you were, you know, 10 men short, playing basically New South Wales Cup sides. And then, you get a few troops back and stuff. And then from an outsider looking in, I'm just waiting each week for it to click for South and go on a bit of a run towards semi-final football, but it just never really came. I thought it would come in the Newcastle game. It didn't. They lost that one. Thought it would come last week. Thought it would come, you know, I know you guys got a win against us, but, you know, it wasn't the prettiest of wins. So it just never really clicked there at the back end of the season. And then obviously with all the off-field stuff that come out, look, the season just ended with a big, big explosion. Just pretty disappointing overall.
Absolutely. I mean, they've got a lot of... They need a big preseason. I'd be whipping these boys in the shape. They don't seem fit enough. Wyden, where does he play? He comes in next season. They've got big decisions to make over some of their spine members. Where does Latrell play? Does he continue to be fullback, or do they end that experiment and put him back to centres? Does Lachlan Ilias keep his spot at halfback? So a lot of question marks there. We'll talk about the Rabbitohs more, I guess, in the lead up of next season. But yeah, as a Rabbitohs fan,
one thing I want to touch on, because I remember, like, obviously we've got our group chats and stuff, and obviously you're diehard South Sydney fan, you'll call him for Lachie Ilias to just get a rest, just give him a week off. Like, how does a fan see that, but the coach doesn't, and the kid plays through a whole NRL season and he just
And the confidence didn't seem there. I mean, you've got Dean Hawkins playing in the New South Wales Cup right now. He's the New South Wales Cup player of the year, and he can't get a run in first grade. I mean, if the confidence is down, you can back the kid all you want, but sometimes what some of these young players need is a rest from first grade, a reset, and just re-energise and get that pressure off them for a little bit. And I don't think Jason Demetrio did his halfback justice by keeping him out there when he wasn't confident, so... Yeah, I agree there, Coz. We're going to get into the finals previews now. Two big top four matches to start the round, starting on Friday night. Before we get to that, please remember to like Steve's NRL Footy Tips. It's the best way to stay notified of all the updates on the future of the show. Thanks for all your support this year. Thanks to all the guests that have been a part of the show. And like and share the podcast. Subscribe wherever you listen to on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Anywhere that you listen to your favourite podcast, this show should be on there. All right, let's get into our finals preview, and it all starts on Friday night. And welcome back to the show, guys. We've got four huge games of finals football to preview, starting with the two probably most important games of the week, debatedly, and that's the top four battles. Two of these sides will be one win away from the grand final, and the action all starts this Friday night. But before we get to it, I just want to introduce the two guests that have just joined our show. One's been on the show many times before. That's Josh Duncan, Parramatta supporter. He's just like me and Matt Cosgrove, where his team won't be featuring in the 2023 final series. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, mate. Glad to be back. Always keen to get back on and chat footy.
Sorry to hear about Parramatta, mate. Yeah, the buy. So you on the Eagles were on their Mad Monday a week and a half ago, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, mate. We did Mad Monday to Monday. We had a whole week of Mad Mondays. So we all that extra partying. You know, who needs prep for 2024 when you can just party on?
And I know that you haven't been on the show since, but at least the Eels did beat the Dragons on your birthday, and they ended the season with a big win over the Panthers. Showed the rest of the comp how to beat Penrith.
Yeah, look, I mean, thank God we beat the Dragons that day. It was looking a bit dicey in the first half, and Ravalawa just destroyed us. But I guess the Penrith wins sort of sums up our season and how frustrating it is and how good we can play on our day and how good we can disrupt the top teams and then just can't string together performances. You can say all you like about the suspensions and stand downs and injuries, but it was a disappointing year. And, you know, that Penrith game, although I was ecstatic watching it, it was also so frustrating to watch because it's just like, what could have been?
It could be more disappointing. You could be a Rabbitohs fan. So think about that.
We're in the same boat.
Yes. All right. Welcome back. You haven't been on the show. Welcome to the show for the first time. He's been a friend of mine for years. Kane Hopper. He's a super coach extraordinaire, and he's making his podcast debut on Steve's That Are All Footy Tips today. Kane, you've been a fan of the game for a long time. You're a Brisbane Broncos fan. Welcome to Steve's That Are All Footy Tips. I know it's a huge honour. How have you found your footy this year, mate? And yeah, you excited for finals footy this year?
Mate, thanks for inviting me on. It's been a few years that we've talked about you coming on, so it's good to actually make it on the show. Footy this year is... Look, as a Broncos supporter, it's been pretty good. I was proper worried that we were going to do a last year and just drop out of the eight again. But I'm glad that we've sort of pushed on. We've got a tough job this week. But, yeah, it's been a really good year. And I don't know about Supercoach extraordinaire, but I'll take it.
Well, you beat me in our public leagues grand final last year. So, you know, anyone that beats me has my respect. Sorry, Matt Kozaru, who's fallen asleep over there in the corner. We're not on video, but Koz is completely zoned out at the moment. He's really concentrating on something. But, yeah, you'll get there one day, mate.
It's good you told him to think ahead with the finals games.
Yeah, he's...
I'm still figuring it out.
He's done more research for this...
for next year's Supercoach.
He's doing more research for this episode than I've done for the show in 4 years. But he's on it right now. He's loving it. Yeah, Kane, I mean, talking off air, we're going to preview this game in a moment. But, you know, you are a massive Broncos fan. And quietly, or maybe not so quietly, you're confident, very confident heading into this final series as a whole, I feel.
Yeah, mate, this is probably the best team that we've put together in a very long time. We've got that the energy of the young guys with Reece at the back and Cobbo on the wings and that sort of thing. But then we've also got the experience with Renault and Capewell running the side. Paddy's just in a league of his own at the moment. When it comes to him playing the game, it's just unstoppable at the moment. So I'm pretty confident, but then once again we've got our hoodie this week, so who knows.
As a fan of a team that hasn't, you know, gone far in finals or even really made much finals football recently, before we preview this game itself, what's your expectations as a fan? Like, is anything less than a grand final disappointment for you, or are you just happy to kind of, if you get to a prelim, what are your expectations heading into this final series?
Look, this year has already been successful. Like, I didn't know how this year was going to go because of how we went last year. Like, we started the year so well and then basically just dropped off a cliff. But this year we've been able to carry on. So as long as we're able to put some 80-minute performances together, which we really have struggled with so far this year, we're good for 20, 40, 60 minutes, but then we just go missing or we go to sleep and we're just like, oh, we don't need to try for this 20-30 minutes, and that really hurts us. So against these teams in the finals, if we come in with that attitude, it's going to hurt.
I'll ask both you guys, Josh and Kane, and we'll start with you, Kane, because you are the Broncos fan here. Are you guys fans of, in the last round, obviously, you know, the Storm, the Broncos and the Warriors all rested players last weekend. And making the top four, I guess they earned the right to do that. Kane, as a Broncos fan, I guess it pretty much cost you guys the minor premiership potentially resting all those players. Do you think it's a good thing resting players on the eve of the finals just to get them fresh for the finals? And in the Broncos case in particular, Kane, do you think that perhaps I can understand the logic in resting players, but the Broncos had the bye in round 25. So it's almost like your star players had the bye, came back and versed the Raiders and then had another week off. Are you worried they could potentially go into the finals underdone a little bit? Or do you think that 2 weeks off for them could be a really good thing for your finals?
Look, if I was going to games and that sort of thing, paying the money to go watch the boys play, I'd be a little disappointed. But in regards to like the coaching side of things, I fully get it. We had a lot of guys that are currently underdone. So I would rather them take that week off and make sure everyone's 100%. Like even coming into this week, Reynolds is still a little bit iffy. If he played last week, and who knows, it might have aggravated his injury. But in saying that, if they played last week with the potential of a head knock or anything like that, once you get a HIA, you're out for maybe 2 weeks. That's the final gone potential.
Oh, absolutely.
If Walsh, Reynolds, Haas, anyone like that were to go down, that could cost us the premiership. So I'd rather lose the minor because, well, let's be honest, for a club like Brisbane, $200,000 really doesn't hurt us too much. Yeah, it'd be a good trophy to put up the wall. But when we bring home the trophy at the end of the year, it'll be worth it.
Josh, what are your thoughts on this situation? Because, you know, we've seen it in the past, not just this year, a lot of teams rest their players. The Penrith Panthers, on the other hand, on Saturday night, named a full-strength side, basically, and, you know, really went against that. What are your thoughts on Ivan Cleary's game plan there by not resting his players? And what do you think about resting players a week out before finals in general?
Well, I mean, Penrith had a clear shot at the minor premiership, and as much as Kane said the Broncos didn't need the 200,000, that 200,000 is probably going to go further into the development at Penrith, which is excellent. Their junior development is absolutely phenomenal, which is why Penrith have been such a dominant force over the last 3 years. No matter who they lose, they have someone to back it up. So, you know, I really feel like Brisbane should have gone for the minor premiership. That money can only help the club and help the club grow further. Invest in juniors, invest in your development pathways. And, you know, Penrith are just going to use that money to improve even further. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, as a fan of the game, it hurts the game. It's good for the young players coming through. But as a fan watching it, it's just the quality of football was not there. I get players that are underdone, like Adam Reynolds. I don't think I would have played him last round. That just, you need him for finals, not in round 26. But I feel like there's a few players who were dropping in form who didn't play 27. I feel like you need players to be in the best form possible for finals. So I feel like resting players who are out of form is just a very, very strange situation. And I mean, no matter what, players, teams in the top four are going to rest their players. It's just the way it is now. You know, you wouldn't have seen that years and years and years ago, but it's just the way of the world now. And if you get to that top four, you've reserved the right to. And I guess we're going to keep seeing it. As much as I hate seeing it, I understand it, but as a fan of the game, it's just not a good look.
Well, the Penrith Panthers, been resting people quite in the last 2 months anyway, so maybe Ivan Cleary just felt like they needed another run at it. And the other thing is that Brisbane couldn't know this at the time, but if the Broncos had won that game, obviously losing it cost them the minor premiership. But even if they had won, it would have been the Broncos Storm next week. The fact that they lost and it was still Broncos and Storm kind of worked out that it didn't really matter the result in terms of who they're playing next week, but yeah, it ultimately cost them the minor premiership.
$200,000. Penrith had their tail tucked between their legs after getting embarrassed by Parramatta. So, you know, they needed their full squad to remind themselves that they're good at footy after being embarrassed by a team in the bottom eight. So,
and I think were they to come out and beat Parramatta, they would have wrecked the players. So it would have been the exact same scenario. But because they got towed up,
bounced, destroyed, demolished.
Yeah, because that happened, I reckon that's the only reason why they fielded the team they did.
Good theory, I like it. They definitely seem like they had a point to prove last week. Alright, let's get into the first finals match of the year. It's Friday night, it is second versus third. Your team, Kane, the Brisbane Broncos versus the Melbourne Storm up there at Suncorp Stadium. And it's going to be fireworks, that's for sure. The Broncos have got to break this hoodoo that seems to exist. The Storm have won the last 14 games against the Broncos. I believe the last time they lost was back in 2016 against them. They haven't lost a game at Suncorp Stadium against the Broncos since 2009. In fact, I think they might have only lost one game at Suncorp Stadium, period, in that time. And it was to the Rabbitohs this year in Magic Round. But, you know, enough about CS. We're not even there this year, so I can't even really bring my team into this at all. But huge game Friday night. The stakes are high. Both teams pretty much back to full strength. I'll start with Coz, who has fallen asleep in the chair, waiting to comment back on this show after, you know, really just carrying the show the first 20 minutes. He's back now.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the Broncos Storm, mate. And, going into Friday night, who do you think, we'll start with you, who do you think has the momentum in this massive game where one team's going to go into the prelims?
Sorry, you're going to have to say that again.
Am I actually? You there?
He's gone.
Look, mate, I'm having technical difficulties. We're going to have to stop the podcast. Give me 1 second. And what a great time to be in a hotel in Sydney just before finals week one. We're back after some technical difficulties. And I asked Cosra an important question and he missed the entirety of it. So, Broncos Storm, we're back at it. Suncorp Stadium, 7:50 on Friday night. Cosra, my question to you originally, my man, was who do you think is carrying all the confidence heading into Friday night? Obviously, last week, the Storm, big winners, 32-22 over the Broncos. Both of their teams had their stars out. This week, it's going to be full strength. Sold-out crowd up there at Suncorp Stadium. Who do you think the momentum is with heading into this game? And, is there something to be said about this hoodoo up there at Suncorp and against the Broncos in general for the Storm?
Yeah, mate, there is. So, obviously, we can't go off last week because, I know they're playing again, but two totally different teams, both teams rested all their stars. So, really, it comes down to the week that both teams had and how they went about the week off, whether, they trained, had a few days off, whatever. But, yeah, the biggest thing for, as you touched on, for Brisbane is the hoodoo. Can they overcome the Suncorp and Melbourne Storm hoodoo?
I mean, it's a great question. We'll go to Kane. Kane, as I said, I feel like you're very confident heading into this game. First things first. Do you believe in this hoodoo? And what is it about the Broncos that seem to really struggle when they play Melbourne?
Obviously, it's a hoodoo. There's a record going back however long now, but is a thing, so it's hard to deny. And let's be honest, Suncorp is basically a second home ground for the Storm, considering most of them are Queenslanders. But I am confident. The game at the start of the year, if we don't lose Reynolds in the 15th minute or whatever it is, we lost by 8 points that game without Reynolds. That gives me some hope, and it is going to be on his back. It'll be him and the forwards. We need to get that fast ruck speed going, which is something that we've always struggled with. Storm are they're the experts at slowing the play the ball down, and if we can get that going a little bit more than usual, we should be able to get out on top. But let's be honest, they've got some superstars in that team. Pappy's back, Munster, Grant, Hughes. They've got a weapon of a team, but I think we've got the weapons behind us to be able to get up as well.
Well, if you're Brisbane, I think you need a fast start. I think that, as we mentioned, this hoodoo and I guess the perception is that they really struggle against Melbourne. Usually, primarily, when Melbourne get to a lead, there's not often that they get read down. And if there's one thing that I think that the Broncos, on paper at least, have the advantage with over over the Storm. It's that forward pack and it's that rotation. I mean, you look at the form of some of these guys, the Broncos, and I think it's the reason primarily you got the X factors in Reynolds and Walsh and Ezra Meehan. But you look at this forward pack, Flegler, Huss, Carrigan, the leader in Capewell, these young forwards like Picara and Palacia that are really stepping up and proving that they're going to be first-grade players for many years to come. If there's one area that I think Melbourne's been particularly, that they've struggled in big games, especially in those two games they played in the last couple of months against Penrith, it's in the forward pack. And, they've got some hard workers, guys like Lerero and Josh King that don't get all the credit, usually. They're just underrated and go about their work. But their leaders in their pack, the likes of Welsh and Kamikamika and Nelson Asofa Solomona, I feel like the pressure and the onus is really on those guys to lay a platform. And if I'm Melbourne, you've just got to somehow negate that pack that Brisbane has in the middle of the field, because if you're going to start, if you're going to try to pin Brisbane back on their own goal line, you can have a Payne Huss hit up, followed by a Flegler hit up, and you could be 25 metres down the field. I mean, they're that effective. Then Carrigan plays that important link role. Josh, what do you think about this game in general? I mean, who do you think has the momentum on Friday night? And I guess for the Broncos, what areas do you think they need to improve on if they're going to, continue to prove everybody wrong and get into a prelim after having a fantastic season that's seen them finish in second place in the ladder?
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. When you have a look at the seasons retrospectively, you get why Brisbane are the favourites. But then when the hoodoo comes into it and the fact that Brisbane have only beat Melbourne like 13 times since 1998, which is just insanity. And I think Melbourne has over 70% win rate at Suncorp. But, I mean, I feel like a massive in for the Broncos is Jesse Arthurs. I think that people are very caught up with Corey Oates being dropped, given that he's played a lot of games for Brisbane and, he's always been solid. But Arthurs been fantastic this year, ever since coming in for it on the wing. He's just filled that spot superbly, and I feel like his defence is much better. He's good at reading. He's better than Corey Oates at reading the line, So I feel like it'll be good for Brisbane having him there. He's fairly decent with his work rate as well, but the backs for Brisbane are also key. So you talk about Brisbane's forward pack. I feel if Reece Walsh can have enough time on the ball, then Brisbane could go very far in this game and get into that prelim final. But Melbourne are very good at stopping opposition key players. They're really good at shutting down those key men. So I think Reece Walsh is going to be suffocated in this game. I feel like the defensive centres, I think Seve is really good at rushing in, and Tonema Pia has been pretty good at rushing in as well. And I find that if Reece Walsh gets bogged down, he tends to make rash decisions. He tends to overplay his hand slightly. So I feel like Melbourne will target that. Will target that in Reece Walsh. So it's going to be such a good game, as you said. But I feel like for Melbourne, the Eli Katoa coming back into the side has added so much. They were really missing a second rower. Lorello has been good, but Toa coming into the side has just added an extra bit of attack. Another big body on the line who runs fantastic lines. And I feel like he is another key member of the Melbourne Storm forward pack, and someone who's been sorely missed for the last couple of months while he's been out. Ever since he's been back, they've added another string to their bow.
Absolutely, I agree. I also think that, you mentioned the the fact that Brisbane deserved favourites going to this game based on coming second, the fact that I don't think that Melbourne have gotten really out of first gear this season and they're sitting third on the ladder is insane, because you think about their performances on field, and I don't think they've really played particularly well for the majority of the season, but their right time of the year, Bellamy will have them ready to go. I go back to you, Cos, with my question of if there's two guys that I think are key to the Broncos, the Storm upsetting the Broncos on Friday night. Mine are obviously Jerome Hughes is in terrific form and he'll have that game management down pat, but two guys that, you know, haven't had, I guess, the desired season that they've hoped they would have is Cameron Munster and Ryan Papperhuis. Now, Papperhuis in 17th, recently coming off that shattered kneecap that kept him out of the game for a year. He played 80 minutes last week, looked pretty impressive. How do you think that Melbourne will utilise him off the bench this week? Will he be playing that middle lock game that he played a couple of weeks ago? Or does he come back on fullback? And how do you think the Storm can get the best out of Cameron Munster? Because in my opinion, Cos, I think he's had his probably least consistent year in first grade that I've seen him have since his debut.
Yeah, definitely had a quietest season compared to other years, but I'm sure, you know, Craig Bellamy's going to have him fired up like the rest of the team, because, you know, they're used to this type of footy, finals footy. They're always up there, in and around the top four especially, so I'm sure Cameron Munster is going to have no issues finding his best footy for the next few weeks, however far they can go. But as for Papenhuyzen, well, the plan, I'd say, will be how they used him a couple of weeks back, off the bench in the middle of the field, unless, obviously, something happens to a Nick Meaney or something and he has to slot in the pullback there. But, yeah, I think the plan will be like a couple of weeks ago.
Yep, absolutely. We'll get to Kane in a moment. We'll get your predictions for this game in a second. But, Cos, who do you think is going to win the game on Friday night? And I guess, why? What do you think the scoreline's going to be? Do you think this is going to be a free-flowing game of football? And ultimately, who wins?
Yeah, look, it's a bit tough to look past the hoodoo. Like, it's not just Melbourne Storm hoodoo over Brisbane. It's also the fact that they have such a great record at Suncorp Stadium too, where they're playing. But so it's really, really, really hard to go past that. Craig Bellamy, you know, he's an experienced head up there in the coaching box. He'll have his team 100% focused, ready to go. He'll have the game plan in mind. And if that all comes off, then they're going to be really, really hard to beat.
Josh, if you're free right now, I don't know if you're there, you're good. Yep. Who do you think, we'll go with the Broncos fan last. Who do you think is going to win the game? As I can hear myself talking, I don't know why that is. But who do you think is going to win the game and why on Friday night?
It's going to be an absolute cracker. I mean, it's going to be a really close game, I think. And as Cos alluded to, it's really, really difficult to sort of go against the hoodoo. I think Broncos will be up for it. I think this will go down to the last 5 minutes. And, I think Storm by two. I think they just have the experience, even though, you know, you've got Reynolds, you've got some big-name players at Brisbane this year. It's going to be tough to beat Melbourne. And I'm hoping I'm wrong because, you know, I'd love Brisbane to get through to the prelims, which I think they're going to anyway. But I think Melbourne are they're ready for this. They're always ready for this. They always seem to. As you said, even if they haven't got out of first gear this year, they'll turn up and watch Jerome Hughes just have an absolute blinder on Friday night. But, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm happy either way. So, you know, but yeah, I've got Melbourne by two.
Yeah, I'll go next, and I feel like the Storm at 240, whether you think they're actually going to win the game or not, the fact that you look at the hoodoo, I think the Storm are terrific value to win this game of football. And I just feel like the Broncos, I agree with Josh, I think they'll be really up for this game, and I think they're going to really fight hard. I just feel like at the moment, you know, if Brisbane play their best football, I think they win and win well. I don't think there's a situation where the Broncos win in a close one, to be honest. I think it's all determined on what Storm we see show up. But I think we're going to see a real, like, hardened Storm, finals-ready Storm. I think Bellamy's going to have them firing. I think it will go down to the wire, because I think that, you know, that forward pack, I think the key for Melbourne is really to negate, if they can survive the first 20 to 30 minutes of the Broncos' big forwards of Fleegler and Huss coming at them, I think they'll go a long way to winning the game. So I think, yeah, I think Melbourne by one, I think it's going to be an absolute cracking game. I think it'll be the game of the round, to be honest. But yeah, I'll go Melbourne just on the fact that, you know, who do I trust more in big game situations? Well, let's be honest, the Broncos haven't been in too many big game situations, pretty much none with this current squad, while the Storm and their key men, you know, are just masters of stepping up in big game situations. So I'll go the Storm by one. But as Josh also mentioned, the big point is the losers of these top four games, their seasons aren't over. I mean, momentum will be against them, but they'll have a home game next week. So if Brisbane lose this game, they'll be hosting a semi-final next week at Suncorp Stadium, which will be another huge game. Kane, you're the Broncos fan here. You know, you can be biased, you cannot be biased. What are you feeling about this game? And ultimately, what's your tip on Friday night?
Well, this is shockingly, I'm going to go against all of you. I'm going to say the Broncos are going to get up. I think it's going to be a real grindy, probably first 30 minutes. And then the Bronx will start open up. The Storm are only running a two forward bench. And we've got some big boys that can play big minutes. So I reckon the Storm will start getting tired and we'll start getting over them there. So I reckon we might get them up, hoping to break the hoodoo. And
have
the Broncos by 10.
Sweet, that's a big prediction, and we'll see how we go. We'll bring you another game before I let you go. Actually, get you to predict your grand final. If I can remember correctly, I believe it was me, Kozaru, Josh, Doopie, and Nicole. I think we all predicted the correct grand final last year in the Eagles Penrith. We'll see if any of us can get it this year, because I feel like this year's a much more open comp than last year. But let's move on to Saturday. We've got two big games. Josh and Kane are here to preview the first of those big two. The other game in the big top four matches this week, it's first on the ladder, the Penrith Panthers versus the fourth place team, the New Zealand Warriors. Penrith wrapped up the minor premiership last week. It's their second minor premiership in a row. They are looking unstoppable at the moment as they continue on their quest to win three premierships in a row and to be the first team since the Parramatta Eels side of 81 to 83 to do that. They've, you know, suffered a couple setbacks recently. In particular, you know, they lost to the Eels 2 weeks ago, but in that game, the big news was Jerome Luai's injury that will keep him out of this game. Cogger will be partnering with Nathan Cleary, but obviously Penrith, huge favourites heading into this game. And we'll start with me, and I was just talking to Kane with his thoughts quickly on this game in particular. The Panthers are heavy favourites. The Warriors, I think, are currently paying 460. They could drift out even further before kickoff. Not many people are giving them a chance. It's been a fantastic season by them. I mean, Andrew Webster's just got this team and just completely changed the culture. And full credit to them. And if they lose this game, their season's not over. But Kane, do you think that, you know, the Warriors are a chance in hell on a Saturday afternoon up there at Penrith, where Penrith are just so hard to beat?
Mate, it's going to be a hard ask for them. Those boys have done so well this season. They've got to be the surprise packet of the season. No one expected them to do what they've done this season. SJ might have had... he might be in career best form. You could be arguing just with how well he's playing. Chance, who couldn't get a start at the Raiders, is now dominating back. And then Dallin's just doing Dallin things. It's just weapon for that luscious locks he's got going on. But look, Penrith, they're going to be super hard to beat. They showed last week, everyone sort of gave the Cowboys a sniff, and they just locked that away real quick with a dominant performance last week. So I think Penrith will unfortunately do probably the same to the Warriors. But if the Warriors forward pack can get SJ onto a good platform, it's all going to be up to Tohu, AFB, those boys. If they can create a platform, then there might be a chance, but I'm not seeing it. It's real slim.
Josh, 2 weeks ago, your Parramatta Eagles team did beat the Penrith Panthers. Do you think there's a blueprint on how teams can upset the Penrith Panthers players? Do you think there's a way they can get up under Penrith's skin and kind of put them off their game a little bit? Because let's be honest, if Penrith are close to at their best on Saturday, it's probably not going to be much of a contest. What do the Warriors have to do to be in the fight, especially early where Penrith are so good and can put teams away in the first 20 minutes?
I think it's a mix of being aggressive and upsetting Penrith's rhythm. You saw in the game against Parra, and you've seen over the last couple of years, aside from the grand final that we don't talk about, that Parra just seemed to really upset the rhythm by that second phase play, always looking to offload, always looking to create different opportunities. So, like, in a grind fest, Penrith are always going to win because they're such a good football team. They're such good grinders, and they just have that ability to just keep going and going and going. But if you upset the rhythm, if you upset the defensive line, you'll start to see holes open up, which is exactly what happened with Parra versus Penrith. I feel like the Warriors are a really good team to be able to do that. We've seen them this year with second phase play. They've been really good. You've got Mitch Barnett, who's an offloading weapon, and you've got AFB running through the middle. You've got a really good forward pack who can offer a second phase play. So I feel like with Wade Egan at the hooker role and SJ and CNK floating around, I really feel like they've got to upset Penrith's rhythm early, because if Penrith get into that rhythm, as you said, it's hard to beat them. So yeah, you've got to upset that defensive rhythm and hopefully, up the
Waz. Absolutely, up the Waz. Cause, it's another season of Penrith just dominating, and I'll say what I think about this game, and I think that if the Warriors are a chance in hell, they need to improve their defence tenfold, because I think they've got no problem scoring points. I don't think they can score points against Penrith. I was actually at this game in round 10 at Magic Round, and the Warriors gave the PFs a mighty scare. Penrith ultimately a little bit too classy, but I think Josh is right. The second phase and the attack, I don't think, is going to be too much of a problem for the Warriors. I think the onus is really on their starting props in Barnett and Adam Fanua-Blake. I think they can outplay the likes of Len Yu and Leota and Fisher-Harris, but they have to be on top of their game, and they've just got to stay in the fight. Their defence just has to be fully committed to stopping every move Penrith make. How do you think the Warriors can get in this game? And do you think the Warriors are a chance of being able to get Penrith off their game on Saturday afternoon?
No chance in hell. I'm going to be the party pooper when it comes to the Waz. Look, I'm happy for them. They've had a great year. Not going to take anything away from them. But, I've got a little bit of a Cronulla feeling from last year with them. Even if you look at the last 10 weeks of footy, they haven't played a real tough opposition side. So when it comes to these big games, which obviously Penrith are so used to now being so dominant for the last few years, I think they might get a little bit of a reality check on Saturday afternoon.
Do you think, you say this, but I guess winning, again, they haven't had the toughest opposition, but winning those games surely given them confidence. Maybe it's false confidence, cause, but if they, I guess, continue to play the football they're playing, they're going to leak some points, which is going to be a big issue for Penrith. But don't you think that you put out the Cronulla comparison, if they were to lose this game and get flogged, it's going to destroy their Maria. But next week, they do have a semi-final in New Zealand regardless.
And chances are it'll be against Newcastle, who are red hot at the moment. So, look, I don't know really how to see that one yet. We've obviously got to get to week two first. But, look, just looking, Penrith's defence, like, Brisbane's second best defence, and Penrith are like over 100 points better.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have to be way off on Saturday afternoon for Warriors to be chance.
Don't you think that Penrith have the Warriors have a lot of creativity in attack though? Don't you think that there's?
Yeah. They've been playing some great footy. Don't get me wrong. Like, their SJ, as Kane touched on earlier, is in career best form easily. It's his best year, and DWZ out there scoring tries for fun. So, they might score a try or two, but
I got to be honest, because I don't think their problem is their attack. I think they can score points. My problem is their defensive structures. I just think Penrith will expose some of their outside backs, and if they can get a run on in that middle, I think the Warriors can score points.
Yeah, but they can score points. They're going to be wrong, but they can, Penrith will have to be way off their game for that to happen, in my opinion.
All right, boys. Well, I don't think this one's going to be a particularly long preview because we all seem to, our tip seems pretty, determined. But so I'll start with my tip. I'll be tipping Penrith, and I'll tip them by 4. But I think the Warriors can give them a scare. I mean, at Penrith, they're pretty much impossible to beat or almost impossible. And if they're leading at halftime, it's game over. The Warriors aren't getting back in this game. But I just think whatever the Warriors have got to give, I think we're going to see the best of it on Saturday afternoon. I really do. And 460, I tell you what, there's worse shouts at 460. Let me tell you, I might have a little bit of something just in case because... You know, everyone's riding them off. Andrew Webster, first-year coach. I've heard it all before. I also remember back in 2008 where the Warriors came up against Melbourne. It was first versus eighth, and the Warriors upset them. I'm just saying the Warriors can play a style of football, you know, really just get creative with their attack. Second-phase football. Expect the unexpected. Look, I don't even think when Manly paid Penrith about a month ago when they started getting into a kicking duel that ended badly... They had the right idea. They were trying different things. And I think the Warriors are capable, if they can continue to be unpredictable, to score points against Penrith. But their defence is going to have to improve tenfold. I think the Warriors will have a good performance. But, yeah, I've got Penrith by 4 points. Kane, what about you?
Mate, I think Penrith might do them by a little bit more. Probably, I think Penrith probably by
12. Okay. Well, let's go to you, Coz. Mr. Negative over there. What do you got?
Penrith by 30.
disrespectful to the Warriors is all I can say. That is not on. Josh, you got anything for me?
Yeah, look, I think it'll be closer than everyone thinks. I think the Warriors are going to be up for it. They're playing finals. You know, I wouldn't sleep on, say, Dylan Walker coming on. He's been fantastic off the bench. He could really cause some upsets to Penrith's defensive structure. He's just one of those players who plays as a ball lock forward. But I think Penrith are just going to be a bit too classy. I've got them by 6, but my heart will be very well and truly behind the Warriors.
The other thing we didn't mention as well is that if Cleary... If they can put a lot of pressure on Cleary, then Cogger's his partner. And Cogger's a good playmaker, but he doesn't necessarily run the ball a whole lot. He's not creating like Luai does on that left-hand side. So they have a clear target.
I think Mitch Barnett will have a goal. Webster will set him a goal. And that is to smash Nathan Cleary as much as possible and... bordering on late as possible.
So I think
Cleary's going to get absolutely smacked on
it's
Saturday.
One thing to say, they've got to put Cleary off its games, the other to actually do it. And I think that's going to go one of either two ways. He's going to affect Cleary's game, or he's going to get sent off Mitch Barnett, if that's the case. Because let's be honest, we've seen him be sent off. Mitch Barnett doesn't have the best history. Let's just say that. We're all in agreement with Penrith there. Before we... say goodbye to our two guests, Josh and Kane. Coz is sticking around a little bit. He's fallen asleep there. It's too late for him tonight, but he's going to start to stick in for these last two games. Before I let you go, Josh and Kane, I want to thank you guys for being on the show. Kane for the first time, Josh for, the 10th time or something like that. I mean, who's keeping count? But before we let you go, I've got to get your thoughts on the ultimate prize. Who do you guys see... coming up with the premiership this season, who do you think is going to be in the grand final and who wins it? We'll start with you, Kane.
Mate, I think my boys, the Broncos, are going to end up facing Penrith in the grand final. And I'd like to say that we're going to win, but realistically, they're such a tough team, so Penrith will probably take it away.
Josh, what do you got? You still got? Who's Clive Churchill, Kane?
Adam Reynolds.
In a losing side. That's huge. That is huge. All right. Josh, thoughts?
Yeah, it's hard to go against Penrith getting into the final. I think Brisbane will get to the other prelim. I wouldn't wouldn't sweat on the Knights. I think the Knights are very capable of causing an upset, given that the form that they're in. I think that they could push Penrith if they get to a prelim. So they're my dark horse, but I have got Penrith and the Broncos, and unfortunately Penrith to win a third consecutive year to jump onto Parramatta's golden record in the 80s. Clive Churchill, I mean, can't go past Dylan Edwards. The guy just does so much for that club. And I hope he gets congratulated, unlike last year where none of his team congratulated him. Absolute shows how they're classless, but, you know, they're just too good.
Yeah, I hear you. Oh, thanks for being on the show today, guys, on that deal. I know, and Penrith better not win the comp, but they're looking a good thing at the moment. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. Enjoy your finals football, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thanks,
mate. Pleasure. Cheers. Thanks. Right, I want to thank Josh Duncan and Kane Hopper for coming on the show. Great conversation with them. We still have two games to preview. Nicole Tivotreski, regular guest, seems to be... otherwise engaged at the moment, so hopefully I can get him on either at the end of this show or next week to talk some footy. But we still got you, Matt Cosgrove, if you're still awake. I mean, it's been a big show so far, but it's an exciting time of the year, yeah?
Oh, 100%. Love finals footy. It's obviously, I'd love my team to be in there, but, you know, watching footy with no pressure, don't really care who wins, and just want to see good footy, really.
That's my kind of take coming into this season. Obviously, the Rabbitohs have not... made the final, have not missed the finals since 2017, so it's an interesting feeling. But I'm happy just to be a neutral observer and just, yeah, see the best football imaginary. Like, I've got like teams I want to see do well, but I don't really have a horse in the fight, so to speak. So, you know, it would be good just to sit back and enjoy the games. I'm sure me and you will have, you know, half a dozen schooners watching them on Saturday night. We're gonna have a couple beers and, you know, up the wires, I guess, but you've given them no chance, so we'll see how that goes.
Let's just clear that. Any Warriors fans listening, I'm still going to go for them. All right. A bit of reverse psychology, a bit of Cosgrove curse.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's real. It exists just like the Melbourne Storm's hoodoo. The Cosgrove curse exists. Whatever Matt Cosgrove says is going to happen. And sometimes he does the early crow and you think that it's over, but it just doesn't work out that way. So... All right, let's get to the third finals match. We're up to the elimination side of the bracket. These two games are going to be four teams competing to stay alive this season. And, you know, four teams that have been very inconsistent in 2023, to say the least. We'll start with the Saturday night game from 7:50 up there at PointsBet Stadium up there at Cronulla. It's the Cronulla Sharks coming sixth versus the Roosters, who finished in seventh spot on the ladder there. The Roosters cemented their final spot last week with a 26-12 victory over the South Sydney Rabbitohs when everything was on the line. Sam Walker's came back into the team in the last few weeks and is playing with some great confidence. We're seeing some of their young guns like Billy Smith and Porgo really play well with their opportunities they've been given in first grade. Fletcher Baker's been a good addition, so has Wong to their forward pack. They've named Joseph Manu to return in the centres this week. It still remains to be seen whether he will play. I don't think he personally will because, you know, hamstrings, we saw Latrell Mitchell, for God's sake, miss, you know, 12 weeks earlier this year with him. They're hard to get right. And if there's any tear there, you'd assume that they'd not want to risk him if he, you know, pulls up, you know, flat in the first 10 minutes of the game. But, yeah, the Roosters, they'll be happy they're in this position. But they travel to Cronulla, Cronulla Stadium that only holds 11,000, that, you know, is locking a lot of fans out from seeing this game. But there's no doubt that the Cronulla Stadium, PointsBet Stadium up there in Cronulla, is a huge advantage for the home team. The Sharks, everybody was riding them off halfway through the season. I still don't think they have got a big scalp. I mean, they beat the Rabbitohs and people went crazy for that, but the Rabbitohs didn't finish in the top eight. So they really haven't, I guess, beaten a contender. But they've done enough to kind of get their season back on track in recent times and cement their spot in the top eight. Now, does anybody think they can win this premiership? I'm not sure. I personally don't think they can. But can they give the Roosters a lot of trouble on Saturday afternoon? I think they can. What do you think heading into this game, Cosgrove? How much weight are you kind of giving to that Cronulla home game advantage? And, you know, the Roosters' form in the last few months has been outstanding. They've gone from 14th to 7th spot in the ladder in a couple months of footy.
Yeah, it's an intriguing matchup, this one. It's a real toss of the coin. It's the one I've been tossing back and forth with since we found out who was playing who late last weekend. Obviously, playing at Cronulla is a huge advantage. They met there earlier this season, I believe, which Cronulla won, if I'm correct off the top of my head without fact-checking it. But, yeah, look, there's been a lot of talk, especially a lot of talk today about, a lot of Roosters fans upset because they couldn't get tickets and blah, 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 and just typical Roosters whining BS that, you know, they don't show up to their own home games, but all of a sudden they want to travel to Cronulla. But, look, I'm happy for the Sharks to be rewarded this week. It's the only week they will be rewarded at Shark Park if they advance past. Well, obviously, they'll play the loser of one of the top four matches next week away, but if they manage to win that one, then they'll get their prelim final at Allianz or whatever instead of Shark Park. So it's only for this week, really. So, yeah, it's a bit of an intriguing one. Both have had pretty similar seasons. Sharks are up there, top four, about halfway throughout the year. Dropped off a little bit and then found a little bit of form heading into finals footy, which found them finishing sixth. And the Roosters, typically slow starters, not unusual for them. Lost to the Dolphins first up in a very, very big upset. Midway through the year, they were pretty poor. It was kind of like waiting for them to kind of click and everything start to start happening for them. But obviously, Sam Walker was out for a little bit there with the knee injury that kept him out for a while. So they had different combinations going, which saw them struggle to get consistent results. But the last 8 weeks or 6 weeks, they've really got back to the Rooster style of footy. They've found themselves in the top eight. Obviously, one big one last week to cement that spot. Obviously, needed some results to go their way last weekend, which they did. So they find themselves in there, and I'm sure, just like any other team, they'll start fresh and be ready Saturday night.
Absolutely. I mean, I probably personally wasn't hugely impressed by the Roosters' performance last week against the Rabbitohs, but they definitely did enough to win that game. I think there was a lot of errors in general, but they've been up for so long that I think getting those out of your system is not necessarily a bad thing. Since State of Origin, I think that Tedesco's form has gone skyrocketed through the roof. I think he's playing a really good brand of football at the moment. And Sam Walker, I think that if he didn't injure his knee in New South Wales Cup, he would have been back in the first grade side a lot quicker. But I think he's there for the first perfect amount of time because he's come back a brand new player. I think that he's full of confidence. We couldn't take too much away from that Tigers game just because the quality of opposition there. But last week, the Rabbitohs, the effort was there, and he came out and really took the game by the scruff of the neck, which is just very promising signs. I still think their forward pack need to aim up to the task. And this week, they're versing a Cronulla forward pack that I thought was just not cutting it the first grade standard a few months ago. But I think since they've got Rudolph and Hamanuelli back into the side, McInnes playing 80 minutes in that lock position, they're desperately still missing Finucane. But I think that they've been so much improvement there. So I'm really looking forward to the battle of the forwards. But ultimately, I mean, if you look at the battle of the halves, Trindle and Hines versus Keary and Walker, Hines definitely likes to have space, and Trindle's just been simplifying his job at the moment. But Keary and Walker, at the start of the year, they looked disjointed and clunky. I think the last few weeks, it's been much improved. And, you know, if I look at both of these team styles, I think the Cronulla prefer a game that's low scoring. They like getting into the grind a little bit. We know they can score points, but if they can keep their opposition to a low scoring, they're going to win ugly. For the Roosters, I think if you look at the firepower they've got all across the park, even some of the young players like Porga and Smith and Suwali, you know, we've seen what they've been able to do and those big moments they've come up with. I think that there's two completely different game styles here. I think the Roosters want fast flowing football and getting the ball their own way. They slow down the ruck a lot and really curve that line to the referees. But when they've got the football in hand, it's exciting football. It's Walker taking the line on. It's Teddy Roman at the back. For the Sharps, I think they play a much more simpler game of football. They just want to complete their sets, get into the grind, and defend their way to victory. So I think it's two completely different styles that Trent Robinson and Craig Fitzgibbon are going for with their clubs. But at the moment, I just give the edge to the Roosters because I think they've got more confidence. As I said, I don't think they played great last week against the US, but they stepped up in those big moments, and the likes of Tedesco and Sam Walker and Billy Smith, they all came to life. I don't expect Manu to play, but I think they've got plenty of firepower and can score plenty of points. And I'm not 100% that Cronulla can, I guess, keep the Roosters down to a low score. If this is a 12-10 game, or if they can keep the Roosters to 2-3 tries, I think that there's a big chance Cronulla win this game. But yeah, for me, I just think the Roosters have too much firepower on Saturday night. Cos, where are you standing in terms of which team do you think... do you think it's the likely victor come Saturday?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards you there. I'm kind of leaning towards the Roosters as well. The more I've thought about this game, I think, as you touched on, like Teddy and co, just in really good form there for the Roosters. And but you know, with Cronulla, it's their last month or a little bit more of footy, with no disrespect to Kennedy, but when he went down with the injury and the trades here back, they've looked a little bit better, in my opinion. So I've noticed that Kennedy is in the extended squad, so it'll be interesting to see if he makes a comeback on Saturday night and pushes Tracy out of that fullback role and he just slots back in there. And yeah, so interesting to see how that will play out.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're leading the way of the Roosters, I hold them.
Yeah, I'm leading the way of the Roosters. I think it'll be close for, you know, up to 50, 60 minutes. But I think, if the Roosters are on, you know, they might put on a couple of late tries in the end there.
Yeah, I think the Roosters by 16. I just feel like the Sharks can keep this game close for a long period, but if I'm betting on a team that can score more points in this game, it's definitely on the Roosters. I don't see any downsides on the Roosters. They're about $1.90 each as well. I just think that the Roosters have got scalps and can step up in the big moments more than Cronulla have proven they can. I mean, look at the majority of the side for the Sharks. Last year, they, as you mentioned earlier in the show, went out in straight-to-straight sets, and I don't know how much lessons they learnt from that. I hope they learn a lot of lessons and are better for it. But it's just, for me, it's going to be one of those games that that will make or break their season. Cronulla will see how much they want it. All right, the final game of finals week one takes place at McDonald Jones Stadium at 4:05 p.m. when the Newcastle Knights host the Canberra Raiders. And the Newcastle Knights, the hottest team in the NRL now, 9 wins in a row with the big win over the Dragons last weekend. We've had a lot of their key stars. They are on fire. They're looking like a team that can do anything. Momentum's a big thing in NRL, and you know, I'm thinking of some big runs like the Eels in 2009, the Cowboys in 2018, and I think the Knights are capable of doing something similar when they're at their absolute best. Caelan Ponga's form has been unbelievable, and the forward pack's really lifted behind the club. They're on another level at the moment, the Knights. Their opponents, the Canberra Raiders, have struggled into the top eight. They've been an inconsistent team at the best. They're without Tarpane and Corey Horsbrough, who are their big forwards for the finals. They also have lost Sebastian Chris due to suspension last week. They've reshuffled the decks multiple times in the past week. Wyden's moved out to the centres. Schiller's now in the wing. Fogarty and Frawley the halves. They're a team in crisis at the moment, the Raiders, and they've probably overachieved to make the finals. So credit to Ricky Stewart there. But, Cos, do you give the Raiders any chance on Sunday afternoon of stopping this Newcastle side that is just entertainers at the moment? They're the side to watch in the NRL currently.
Yeah, it would take a huge, huge effort to upset the Newcastle Knights there at a sold-out McDonald Jones Stadium. Like, as you touched on, the Knights are just on this hot run at the moment. 9 straight wins. It was all the way back to round 17 when they dropped their last game to the Panthers. Obviously, Penrith had a few out that night and probably could have easily been a winnable game, especially if you looked into the crystal ball and saw that they were going to win their next 9 straight. But yeah, so it hasn't been till late June since they've dropped a game. They're just in absolute red hot form. They could have easily dropped a game last week with Ponga, Gagai, Hastings and the likes out, but you know, it was next man up mentality. They just didn't look like losing that game really or in any danger, so they head into week one of the finals off the back of 9 straight with all the momentum in their favour. So it's really up to them how far they want to go in the next 4 weeks.
Absolutely. They it's crazy the turnaround. I mean, it saved Adam O'Brien's job. They're a side that I don't think anyone had any real expectations on 2023, and now they're honestly in a position playing in a sold out crowd at Newcastle. They'll get 35,000 for this game, where they could put a massive score on the opposition in week one of the finals. There's one team that I don't think deserves to be in the finals. It's the Canberra Raiders. I honestly think they're just making up their numbers, and I just feel like you look at every other team, the competition and in the top 8, and you know, the strike in those sides. Then you look at Canberra and you just say, well, you know, at their best they can play some okay football, but it's just so inconsistent, Cos, that you just don't know ever what you're going to get from Canberra. And they can be really good for 40 minutes, and then a 10 minute period they can just completely fall off the bandwagon and concede 3 tries. It's just, how can you confidently give Canberra any chance? No, I think this is the most one-sided game of the weekend, and I think that it's honestly, I think it could get brutal. I actually reckon the Knights can win this game by plenty. I don't know about you.
No, I'm 100% with you. It's easiest game of the round to tip, in my opinion.
I'm going to go Newcastle by 30. What about
Newcastle
you?
By 40.
Oh, huge. Newcastle by 40. That's unbelievable. That is our finals tips for week one. We've gone pretty similar, Cos. I mean, I've gone the Storm, the Panthers, the Roosters, and the Knights. I think you might have gone the same.
Yep.
So we've got the same tips week one of the finals. Before I let you go, I want to thank you for being on the show today. It's been great talking to you again. I'm hoping to get you back at least for the grand final edition. But we're up to the time of the year where we're going to give our finals brackets. I don't know if you've got yours ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready, mate.
All right, give us your finals bracket. So give us your week one winners. We just mentioned them, but say them again for me.
All right. So obviously, Panthers, Knights, Roosters, and Storm.
Yep.
So that would have the Warriors playing week two against the Knights.
Yep.
And Brisbane play Roosters.
Yep.
So I've got Knights beat the Warriors. I've got Warriors out in straight sets. Got the Broncos beating the Roosters up in Brisbane.
Yep.
Week three, we'll see Penrith beat Brisbane. Penrith winning that. Storm and Knights. And then the fairy tale will sadly come to an end. I've got the Storm, so my grand final is Panthers and Storm. And listening to myself say that makes me want to watch Lethal Weapon 4 instead of the grand final. And Panthers obviously to win their third straight premiership. As the saying is, defence wins comps, and they've got the best defence by a country mile. So it's very hard to go past them.
Alright, well, I'm going to go week one. I've got the this is going to be tough. I've got, I'm just thinking of the other weeks because I've gone back and forth a few times. But yeah, I've got the Storm beating the Broncos. I've got the Panthers beating the Warriors. The Roosters eliminating the Sharks and the Knights eliminating Canberra. Week two, that means I've got the Warriors versus the Knights. I've got the Warriors winning that game in New Zealand, ending the Knights winning streak of 10 in a row, which is a huge call. I know, but I'm doing it. Then in week two, I've got the Roosters eliminating the Broncos, and I've got the Broncos out in straight sets. Huge. So then in week three of the finals, I've got Penrith beating the Roosters to get to the grand final. and I've got the Warriors beating the Storm. The Storm to beat the Warriors to get to the grand final, and then I've also got a Storm Penrith grand final, and I'll go the Storm to win the premiership. Which again, I'll come around yours instead of watching the grand final. We can watch Lethal Weapon 4 together. Absolutely. All right. Well, that is our finals week one podcast. Is there anything you want to say before we wrap this up, Coz?
All the listeners out there, enjoy finals footy. If your team's playing, good luck. If your team's not, well, we suck.
All right. We'll see you here next week again for my semi-finals previews. But thanks for listening, guys, and enjoy your finals football this weekend.